Blog Talk Radio.
Hello everybody, this is Prophet Michael Shakespeare, and you're live in the studio with me today here, hallelujah, at PSM International, and we are excited, praise the Lamb of God, about the day that the Lord has made, always praise the Lamb. You know, I was drinking a bottle of water this morning and just stopped drinking and said, Lord, thank you for water. Praise the Lord. Some things just, you know, we ought to be grateful for, and water is one of them. I just thank God for water. Praise God. Hallelujah. I often tell people if God kept anything better for the human anatomy, better than water, he kept it for himself. Praise the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Nothing could be better for us other than the Spirit of God, and thank God for the Holy Ghost today that's prevalent in our lives. I love each of you today, and thank you for those that's chiming in, those that's calling in. If you're listening to our voice via the internet and would like to call in, you can call in today at area code 646-564-9818. Area code 646-564-9818. And right here, praise the Lamb of God, where truth goes forth, praise the Lamb of God, where proper interpretation of Scripture goes forth, praise the Lamb Hallelujah. Well, we don't compromise the gospel of Jesus Christ, because the truth, praise the Lamb of God, will make us free. And we are all trying to continuously walk in the spirit of deliverance in this season. Praise God. I love you, 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 and even you. Look at all these various area codes that's lighting up the board today. Praise the Lamb of God. I thank God for each of you today, for chiming in, for calling in, praise God, and being a part of the show. Yesterday, didn't we have such an exciting time? Praise the Lamb of God here at PSM. Oh, my goodness. I tell you, hallelujah. Who would have ever thought that we was going to go into conversation that deep about the testimonies and things of this nature, and people just called in from all over, Fires, Canada, praise the Lamb of God, South Carolina, North Carolina, California, calling in, praise the Lamb of God, to share their testimonies and how good God has been to them and how the Word has enriched and empowered their lives. And I'm just excited for people when they get excited about what God is doing in their life, praise the Lamb of God. It's not about man. Hallelujah. It's about our God. Hallelujah. And I ask the question sometimes, how great is your God? Praise the Lamb of God. My God is awesome. My God is mighty. My God is greater, praise the Lamb of God, than any problem I could have. Hallelujah. And therefore, everything shrinks when I think about how great my God is. Everything else shrinks, praise the Lamb of God, and become marginalized in the face of my God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lamb of God. I love him today, and I love each of you. Yes, Lord, we're here for another exciting time. I got some good stuff I want to talk to you about concerning the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lamb of God in the prophetic as we go continuously in this fast. Praise the Lamb of God. And as we pursue, hallelujah, this place in God, I believe in my soul that one of the reasons why a lot of people are not operating in the Holy Spirit the way they want to, having been filled with the Holy Spirit and things of this nature, is because they don't understand the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. They haven't gained no knowledge of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Praise the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. It's not just there for us to shout with. We're going to talk about that. Praise the Lamb of God a little bit later on in the show here today. Praise God. It's praise day today. We lift them high. We lift them high. We lift them up unto the sky. Allah, GP, are you with me? Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's what I want to hear today. Praise the Lamb of God. The praises are high today. And always, the board is still open for testimonies. For anyone who wants to testify, give a praise report. All you have to do is push one on your dial today and enter into that type of dialogue. But what do you all think? Boy, it's crazy what is happening. Praise the Lamb of God in our society. Another school incident down in Texas there, praise the Lamb of God, at Lone Star College. 15 children stabbed, praise the Lamb of God, by one of the students there. Boy, oh boy, oh boy, it's just, I mean, this spirit, praise the Lamb of God, it just has to be broken off of our young people. This is crazy, praise the Lamb of God, that your life is so miserable in your own eyes. You're in college and not understanding how many millions of children don't get an opportunity to go to college because their parents can't afford it. They can't get, praise the Lamb of God, the assistance and the support and the directives of others, praise the Lamb of God, undergirding them to tell them or talk to them even about higher education and its importance. And there are so many don't even get an opportunity, and you sitting up in school, in college, praise the Lamb of God, with the opportunity to excel in education, to go further, praise the Lamb of God, in your life, hallelujah, and to make a life for yourself. And here you are sitting up tripping, praise the Lamb of God, about the peer pressure and what you think people think about you. Your mind is in the wrong place. Praise the Lamb of God. Oh, my goodness. Oh, goodness gracious. It just bothers me to see this type of activity going on in our schools, people of God. Hallelujah. And we must come to a place to really, really intercede, praise the Lamb of God, on behalf of these young people, and then look at our children and understand it could be one of them. So what do we need to do, praise the Lamb? What needs to be instilled? Number one, praise the Lamb of God, love, the true kind of love, praise God, the true kind of love needs to be instilled in them. Number two, praise the Lamb of God, a purposeful mentorship program within the home, praise the Lamb of God, a mother, father, parents mentoring their children themselves and not looking for other people to mentor them. The first level of mentorship is at home, praise the Lamb of God, hallelujah. The first level of encouragement, the first level, praise the Lamb of God, of development of the mind of a young person is in the home. So therefore, praise the Lamb of God, we need to do that, and that needs to be done with agape, praise God. Then wisdom has to be applied. Hallelujah. We must have wisdom in this day. And the Father says in the Word of God, if any man lack wisdom, praise the Lamb of God, let him ask the Father. If anybody lack it, let him ask God. God will give it freely. Praise the Lamb of God. If that's what the Scripture says. If you lack it, ask for it. God will give you the spirit of wisdom. Praise the Lamb of God. It's a gift that God desires for you to walk in. Hallelujah. I prayed for it. I asked for it. Praise the God. Yes, I did. Hallelujah. I asked for it. And sometimes in certain areas, praise the Lamb of God, that I enter into a business or something like that, I ask God, give me wisdom in this, Father. Give me wisdom in this. And since there is no manual that comes with parenting, praise the Lamb of God, you must ask God to give you the wisdom, godly wisdom in raising your children, praise the Lamb, so that your children can grow up in a God-fearing way, praise the Lamb. Hallelujah. We have to do that, people of God. All right, then it goes on to the church and what have you. But I'm talking about the home, hands-on on our children, praise the Lamb of God, hallelujah, so that we can raise our children. And it's not about giving them everything. Hallelujah. It seems like the more we give our children, the worse they get. My God, sometimes we don't need to be giving them things, praise the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. We need to be holding things back from them to let them appreciate how they received it, praise the Lamb of God, the work they did for it, instead of just constantly bestowing stuff upon them, praise the Lamb of God. We had to earn stuff when I was little, praise the Lamb of God, coming up. We had to earn it. Sure enough, we did, praise God, hallelujah. It just didn't pop up. We had to earn that thing, hallelujah. I love you today. I wanted to drop that on in your spirit. Anyone want to dialogue about that, you can push one and give me your position on that. But it's crazy, praise God, hallelujah, that all these children are being killed, sent to the hospital, wounded. Fear is being instilled, praise the Lamb of God, into their lives, whereas that their nervous systems will be wrecked, some of them, for the rest of their lives. They'll be afraid to go in any large public places, things of that nature, due to one incident. Praise God. And the only reason why some of us don't understand that is because it's never happened to us. But once you're in a public place and somebody just jump up shooting, or somebody just go on a rampage of killing and stuff like that, praise the Lord, when the next time you get invited to a party or something, you're going to be slow to go. Trust me, praise God, it happened to me when I was young. House parties, praise God, somebody pulled a gun and started shooting. That was my last house party. No more house parties. Hello, light bulbs, praise the Lamb of God. It can instill a fear in you to say, you know what? I'm not going back up in nobody's house for no party no more. But it can happen anywhere now at any time because of the society that we live in that is becoming so ungodly, so ungodly. Oh, my goodness gracious. Wow. Wow. My goodness gracious. Hallelujah. And then this girl, this teenage girl who hung herself after being bullied, praise, after she was gang raped. After she was gang raped, she was being bullied. Our society is so crazy. When we should be administering love, we're administering hatred. When we should be administering strength, we're administering weakness. It's just upside down. And there has to be, praise the Lamb of God, a change taken, praise the Lamb of God, in our lives. Praise the Lamb of God. Some change has to take place. Praise the Lamb of God. We must come to a place of understanding that it's not God's will for all of this nonsensical killing to take place in our society. It's not God's will. All this death of young people who have not even begun to live, who can't spell life good, can't give you a proper definition of what life is about, have not even had a chance to raise a family or anything, not even get a decent job, not on their own car, not have the opportunity to buy a house, and they're dying in unprecedented numbers. Something has to stop. Praise the Lamb of God. And we as the community of faith, hallelujah, must play our part in our consultations, praise the Lamb of God, in the preaching that's going across the pulpit. The day has come, people of God, that we must, praise the Lamb of God, preach the gospel of repentance. Hallelujah. The gospel of repentance must come forth again, afresh, anew. Hallelujah. I know a lot of people don't like to listen to me because I tell the truth. Praise the Lamb of God. But repentance must take place. Repentance in the home. Parents need to repent from not being parents. It ain't just repenting of sin. See, that's all we think repentance means. No, it's repenting in all areas of life. Hello, light bulbs. Ding, dong, ding, dong. Praise God. Hallelujah. There are some areas we need to repent in, hallelujah, as it comes to parenting, as it comes to being mothers and fathers, sisters and brothers, unbrotherly brothers, unbrotherly sisters. I have heard so much about brothers and sisters who are always bickering, always fighting, always at each other. Always, praise the Lamb of God, involved in some kind of mess up, break up, fist fighting over their parents, at their parents' home, fist fighting in public places. Brothers and sisters, same blood, same parents. Something is wrong with their spirit when Cain and Abel is in the same house, and even among our daughters. Something is wrong with that spirit. Praise the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. We as the community of faith must come to a place to say, you know what? Time out. Praise the Lamb of God. Time out for all I'm worried about is how pretty I can look by going to the gym and leaving my kids by themselves. Time out. Praise the Lamb of God. I'll have to learn how to work out at home. Time out. Praise the Lamb of God. That I got to see every movie that's in the theaters. I need to spend time with my children. Time out that this man or this woman is getting all my attention and my children need me, praise the Lamb of God, and I'm ignoring them. I'm ignoring their cry. I'm ignoring their hurt. I don't use my discernment to discern them when I'm with them to see that something is wrong with my child. Something is wrong. My child is hurting. Something is bothering my kid. Praise the Lamb of God. Something is bothering my children. Hallelujah. You need to really sit down, people of God. Hallelujah. And examine yourself. Evaluate, praise the Lamb of God, whether or not we are doing the right thing. Then look, praise the Lamb of God, at our children with discernment, prayerfully. Hallelujah, and ask God, reveal to me if there is something in my children, hallelujah, that I need to see before it's too late, Father, before the enemy uses it against them, hallelujah, and against others. Yes, people of God, praise the Lamb of God. I know we think it cannot happen to or through our children, but 99% of all the children that it had happened through and to, their parents didn't think so when they left the house that morning. Hallelujah. Their parents never dreamt that it would be that way. People of God, it's time to wake up. It's high time that we wake up out of sleep. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Praise the Lamb of God. And the mic is open to anyone, praise the Lamb of God, that want to speak on that. Hallelujah, you can do that. But a change must come. Praise the Lamb of God. A change must come. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's prayer time. Let's go to the throne of grace. Praise the Lamb of God. And intercede today for our young people. Praise God. Hallelujah. It is time to pray. And I tell you, people of God, when you consider, hallelujah, the works of prayer and how effective prayer has been, but we must remember something else, people of God, that prayer does not, in every situation, praise the Lamb of God, invoke the hand of God to work a miracle or allow us, praise the Lamb of God, to lax in our responsibility and our care for our children or what have you, praise the Lamb. Yeah, to lax in that, and that it's going to work out anyway because I'm praying. That's not what prayer is about. Praise the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit will, in Romans 8, will help our infirmities. Help is assistance. Help is not doing it. Help is assisting you. Praise the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. So if you ask them for God to assist and help, you must still do your part. Praise the Lamb of God as a parent. So we're praying, hallelujah, for our youth today. We're praying for our children. Oh, my God, I'm praying for this family that's affected. It's bad enough for your daughter to be raped. Gang raped at that, but now your daughter commits suicide. What kind of effect does that have on a mother and a father and sisters and brothers? What kind of dark cloud will hang over their head for the rest of their lives? My goodness gracious, people of God, hallelujah. It's time, praise the Lamb of God, that we enter into prayer concerning these things. My goodness, I'm not going to even ask people how many people is registered that died in Chicago, praise the Lamb of God, over the weekend and last night. How many in Detroit, how many in New York. This, it would probably shake our foundation, praise the Lamb of God, concerning these nonsensical deaths that's taking place, praise the Lamb. The President of the United States is talking about gun violence. Praise the Lamb of God. Michelle Obama is talking about gun violence. Praise the Lamb of God. The Vice President is going around talking about gun violence. They're importing people all the way from the place up in Sandy Hook, praise the Lamb of God, to bring them in so that others can hear them, praise the Lamb of God, talk about the tragedy that took place there, praise the Lamb of God. Hallelujah, for a wake-up call for America. But our Republican parties, praise the Lamb of God, we have to understand that a lot of them have invested money in gun making, praise the Lamb of God, and in gun sales. And it's always about money. Anytime there's a fight about right and wrong, there's money on the line, praise the Lamb. Somebody is going to lose some money. Hallelujah. You can talk about anything. Liquor, cigarettes, whatever it is, the fight is not all. It's not all about what's right and wrong. Everybody knows what's right and what's wrong. It's about money. Praise the Lamb of God. And some people's greed for money, hallelujah, is greater than, praise the Lamb of God, that love of a human life. That's a shame before God, but it's true. Hallelujah. Praise the Lamb of God, that they'll rather see people dead, hallelujah, that their money can keep coming in because they have a callous over their heart that says, I don't care. It's not my fault. Praise the Lamb of God. I just made the gun. I didn't tell nobody to get it and shoot nobody. That's their attitude, praise the Lamb of God. But all of this, praise the Lamb, trying to refine and reform the policy on how and how you can purchase a gun and this, that, and another, and a background check and all of that, they know that's going to slow down the purchasing of guns tremendously, and they don't want it in place. They want you to just walk in the store, show your driver's license that you of age, and buy your MK, you know, or whatever, a Glock, whatever kind of gun you want. Just buy you one and just go on back out the door with your bullets and everything and a receipt. That's what praise the Lamb of God, these people want. Hallelujah. To make it just that easy for you to get a gun. You don't even got to show that you're a citizen. Not just here. I want two of them. I want four of them. I want three of them. And go and purchase what you want to walk out the door with it. A little arsenal. Or come back month after month purchasing enough guns, praise the Lamb of God, to hijack a plane. I'm just saying, praise the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. We need to open our eyes to what's really going on. Praise the Lamb of God. It's about money, people of God. Hallelujah. And it's not about lives. It's about money that they're fighting over. Praise the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. I love you all. I bless you today. Praise the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. It's my daughter, Shatwan. Are you listening today, baby? Push one on the dial if you're here. Praise the Lamb of God, Shatwan. Hallelujah. I want you to pray for us today. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Boy, I tell you, when we consider, praise the Lamb of God, the operation and the works of prayer, boy, I tell you, there is nothing else that will help us, praise God, to move forward, to give us a mind. But I tell you all the time, praise the Lamb of God, if you're willing, listen to me now, if you're willing, people of God, hallelujah, to put your mind and your heart towards prayer for change, then you must be willing to be coming out of change. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. In other words, Father, I'm willing for you to use me to make the change. Hallelujah. Praise the Lamb of God. Daughter, you here with us?
I'm here.
God bless you, Tuan. Thank you for being here, daughter. Hallelujah. Thank you for all of your encouraging posts that you've been posting lately. I'm so proud of you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Come on, lead us to that throne. Take us to the King, baby. Hallelujah.
Okay.
Hallelujah.
Come in the name of Jesus. Lord, we just come to thank you and praise you for this day, God. God, yeah. We just come to give you glory and honor today, God, for you are worthy to be praised, God. Father God, we just want to come, God. God, because we have a burden on our hearts for the children today, God. And Father God, we come lifting up our children today, God. And God, we come binding up that murdering spirit, God, that's running rampant over our children today, God. Father God, we come binding up those spirits that are not like you, God. God, those spirits that come against our children and desire to snatch them from us, God, in the name of Jesus. Father, we ask right now, God, that you cover them with your blood, God. God, even as they go to school, God, cover them with the blood, God, in the school, God. Protect them, God, in the name of Jesus, God. Oh, Father God, in the name of Jesus, God. God, continue to send your people to minister to our children, God, and let them know, God, that this is not the way, God, that, God, there's a better way for them to live, God. They don't have to go out here, God, and do the things of the world, God. But, oh, God, in the name of Jesus, Father, that they can come into your kingdom, God, and live a holy life, God, and acceptable and pleasing to you, God, in the name of Jesus, God. God, let us be better role models for them, God, and teach them how to dress, God, and teach them how to talk, God, in the name of Jesus, God. God, let them look at us and see you in us, God, that they will want to be just like us, God, in the name of Jesus, God. Father God, let us learn how to talk to our children, God. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, God. For God, we know that they have a greater pressure on them, God, than we ever did, God. And God, let us not be judgmental, God, in the name of Jesus, God. God, that we may hear them, God, and we may hear their problems, God, in the name of Jesus, God, and use the Holy Ghost and wisdom, God, to speak to them, God, and to give them the wisdom, God, in the name of Jesus, God. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, God. Hallelujah, God. Oh, God, you said with love and kindness have I drawn them, God. And, oh, God, hallelujah. Let us begin to draw our children, God, back into your kingdom, God. God, let us begin to talk to them, God. Let us begin to say the things that you say, God, and not say the things that we say, God. And, oh, God, in the name of Jesus, God, we as parents, God, we're quick, God, in the name of Jesus, God. God, we're quick with a sharp tongue, God, to cut them down, God. But, God, teach us, God, today, God, how to use our tongue, God, that we might not push them back into the world, God, in the name of Jesus, God. God, I ask these things right now, God, in the name of Jesus, God. And, Father God, let us not send our children to church, God, but, God, let us take them, God, in the name of Jesus, God. God, let us raise up the standards in our homes, God, that as for our house, God, we will serve the Lord, God. And if we get up and go, God, they got to go too, God. In the name of Jesus, God. Oh, God, I just thank you and praise you, God. Oh, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your role models, God. Thank you for putting people in their lives, God. In the name of Jesus, God. Thank you for allowing our home, God, to be safe haven to other children, God. That, God, that we know that every
Lord.
Child has got to have a safe,
yes,
home, a safe home, God. But, Father God, let our homes be safe for other children, God. In the name of Jesus, God. Oh, God, let us watch and protect over them, God, and teach them your ways, God. God, that they may go back, God, and change their own home, God, in the name of Jesus, God. Father God, I just thank you and I praise you, God. I give you glory and honor, God, in the name of Jesus, God. But God, we're raising up a generation, God, and God, I declare, God, and I decree, God, that they will stand for you today, God, in the name of Jesus, God. I bless your name, God, in the name of Jesus. I praise you, God. I give you glory and honor today, God. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Right here tonight, how many sons have cried for their fathers? How many fathers have cried like a son? This is the promise. Now every tear saved through the years, memories become the fine wine.
My God, my God, my God. Thank you, daughter, for your prayer today. Hallelujah. Thank you so much. Shatwan, I want
yes.
to praise the Lamb of God. You know, talk to you a little bit. I know you are a parent, praise the Lamb of God, of two boys. Are you there, Shatwan?
Yes.
All right. I know you're parenting two boys and what have you. I mean, maybe I'm a little far removed because, you know, I'm at the double nickel. I'm 55 years old, and you know, some may say, "Oh, he's probably getting old, and he just don't understand." Blah blah, some stuff he don't understand. But I'm just trying to wrap my mind around. If I'm missing something, help me, please. But I'm talking to all of you all in this mindset and this spirit that's going on with our young people, and especially our young men, that they're just killing each other. What is really the deal?
Well, Prophet, I can only tell you from experience of what I've been going through with my oldest son. You know, he's in rehab, and thank God that God is doing something with him. But during family time, I had to sit and I had to listen. And it's things that he exposed to me that I never knew. You know, at 8 years old, he witnessed a murder. I never knew that.
Wow.
He never said anything. You know, our children, sometimes we become so busy with trying to provide for them that we forget that they just need us there. And I was one of those parents. I'm a single parent. And I do hair, so my schedule was all over the place, and I was here, and I was there, and I was working. But I thought that working was the answer, but the answer really was being there for my children.
Mm-hmm.
And from that, it just spiraled out of control. You know, he started doing weed, then he tried cocaine. He tried everything but heroin and crack. And I had to sit and I had to listen, but I thank God that he had prepared me to be a parent, that not to be judgmental, but to sit and listen so that this can be told, because he never did speak to me about these things. You
wow.
know, but I was able to sit there, and although it hurt, and although I was shocked, I was able to sit there and listen, truly hear his crying out that all they want it's love. They just want the parents to be there. And the parents are not in the homes anymore. Either they're too busy working, they're too busy partying, or they're too busy trying to be their kids' friends, you know. And one thing I was told by my mama is, I'm your mama. I'm never going to be your friend, and I'm never going to be your peer. As long as you live, I will continue to be your mother. And that's how I raised mine. I am not your friend. I'm your mother. You know, I mean, you may share with me at any given time, but I will never be your peer. You can never come to me as a peer. You know, and sometimes we lose that because we begin to go in as a friend. And God had to bring me back out and show me that I was sliding into being a friend and not a parent.
Wow.
So, you know, that's the problem.
Yeah, I had went down that friend road with my oldest son, and I mean it didn't even take a year till, you know, it hit that I can't be your friend. I got to be your dad, you know.
That
friendship buggy, you know. Oh, you need to be your child's friend. No, you need to allow them to approach you. And you know, maybe on the level of a friend, to be able to share things with you without them feeling that you're going to condemn them, or that you're going to go upside their head, or you're going to punish them
exactly.
because of things that they're going to, you know, that they're involved in, or that they've been exposed to. All of us in life have been exposed to different things, and this is what I have always told my children. I said, you know, it's probably, you know, very little that you all have been exposed to that I have not. And, you know, if you want to talk to me about something that that bothers you that you think you don't need, you shouldn't talk to nobody about, you really need to come and talk to me about it and let's share. And, I told my sons years ago as they were coming up, I said, listen to me. Dad loves you, and I mean I love you enough that I'll take a bullet for you. I said, and I don't know no greater love than that. I said, but I want to talk to you all about this spirit of homosexuality. They all started laughing. I said, no, seriously, if one of you ever decide that, you know, this is a lifestyle or something for you, I need you to come talk to me about it. I really do. If you got the urge, I really want you to come talk to me about it, and I want you to know that I'm not going to hate you. I may not like what you're doing, but I'm not going to hate you. I'm going to love you just as much as I love you today. And I think, you know, sometimes that our children, because they grow up under the don't do this, don't do that, stop, I said, I'm going to knock you upside your, if you don't sit down, if you don't go in there and this better be done, that they have this fearful reverence of us that is so strong until many times, praise the Lamb of God, it is the preclusion or, you know, or the hurdle that's in the way of us having a successful relationship with them when they grow up and to become older. Whereas that they can talk to us and share with us what they're going through and what's on their mind.
That's true.
And I think that's one of the major things that we as believers need to really work on is how do I adjust at the proper time to deal with my child in a way that my child can understand that they can talk to me and they can share with me without having a fear that I'm not going to understand or that I'm going to go off or something of that nature. I tell you, praise the Lamb of God, you know, Angel is married and this, that, and another, and, you know, and going about her business here. But I remember, you know, the first time, praise the Lamb of God, that she had, fooled around, she came to me the next morning and sat and talked to me about it. And she don't know today that my blood pressure was about to blow the top of my head off. And while she was talking to me, I was holding, or I had something in my hand, and I was squeezing it so tight that if it could have broke, it would have. But I was smiling at her while she was talking to me. And all in my mind was, I'm going to get this little guy, and I'm going to break his little neck, you know. But
amen.
I never allowed her to know that. I grabbed her and hugged her, and she cried on my chest. I'll never forget it. I know exactly where we were when she told me. And she was like 18, 19 years old. And, you know, my chest became a pillow, and my heart was a heartbeat of love towards her. And I told her, I understand, you know, this, that, and another. And I talked to her about everything, you know, that the precautions and things of this nature. And she told me, Dad, we took all the precautions and things. And it settled me that you heard me when I did talk to you. And you followed my instructions and my orders and this, that, and another. And admitting that she know I was wrong, Dad, and I'm here to repent and say, to tell the Lord I'm sorry and this, and the whole nine yards. We have to come to a place of understanding, praise the Lamb of God, that not necessarily is your fault going to be their fault, what you did, you know, but they're going to have their own individual stuff that they're going through, but you still must come to a place to be able to deal with your children on a level that their understanding, praise the Lamb of God, can come to you. And then you can help them to understand on a greater level. You can give them more wisdom and more insight through discussion that's beyond that of one of their peers. so that they can really see the ramifications of what's going on and what they, and, you know, and what they're doing and what have you, you know, because, you know, sometimes it can spiral out of control. That's definitely something. Somebody else want to join our conversation? Just a minute. Shatwan, I'm going to let you go. Error code 662, your mic is hot.
No, it was, I think I was 6 weeks ago with your mother. But it was my oldest daughter, my baby boy, because my oldest son was gone for the surgery. So we had him skip it, but because the dad didn't want to go, it was just three and me. And we flew there, and we flew back. It took about an hour to get there and an hour and a half to get back. We didn't have to do nothing. They set up her dialysis and everything before he left. So that's what he wanted.
Oh, she's not talking to us, I don't think.
Yeah, her brother don't.
Error code 662, are you there?
Sunday, we thought we were going to get a chance to go to church, but we had to be at the airport at 1 o'clock. So we couldn't.
I think somebody opened their mic without knowing it's a twine.
They did too.
Yeah, they opened their mic without knowing it. Okay. But, you know, this is a very, very sensitive and needful dialogue, people of God. I want to talk to you about what I want to talk to you all about out of the Word of God. And don't worry, we're going to talk about that today, right at the top of the hour. But for these next 10 minutes or so, I just wanted to see where your heart and mind was. Was it in the same place that mine was? I try my best to communicate with the young people at the church, in the ministry and what have you, and they're on Facebook as they inbox me with questions, confessions, things of this nature. And I don't want to be far removed from them. I wanted them to be able to get the right responses and things from me. But I just want to know, is this just like a fad that's going on that, you know, I bet you won't shoot everybody in class tomorrow. I mean, what is the drive behind this thing, man? It's just, if nobody can give me an answer, then it's the spirit, praise the Lamb of God, hallelujah, of the devil.
It's the spirit.
It's satanic spirit, praise God. That's getting a hold to these children, hallelujah, these young people that's causing this. It has to be a satanic spirit. Praise God.
There's
another call.
There's no teaching.
We got two. Error code 313, Bertha.
Praise God, Pastor Shaquan of Father Shakespeare. How are you today?
Hey,
we're blessed.
Good. I was listening to you about the children. And I just feel in my spirit that there is a spirit of deception that has been released upon these children. And I believe it's a scripture that says, be not entangled with the tale of this world. They're so caught up in what the world can offer. And so they've forgotten about Jesus. And some of them have been taught the word of God, but they have been pulled into the world by being deceived by what the enemy has put before their eyes. And
okay. I can see that. Okay, wait, give me a second. Erico 226, your mic is hot.
Praise God, praise God. All glory.
How are you doing, Gil?
Blessed. This is a very touchy subject for me. You know, it's the spirit that's overwhelming our youth. It's what's in the media right now, and our kids believe that they have to be of the world right now because us as fathers are failing to do what the Lord has put on us.
Yes, it is.
To raise up our youth, to give them the values that they need, you know, and in a lot of the groups they have for the youth, they get away from teaching them the word of the Lord and get into teaching the word of man. And what is okay, you know? Hence the sexuality comes in. Hence the it's okay to be bisexual. It's okay. It allows all that. And our youth are crying right now. I've heard them crying when I've talked to them as I've walked the streets. They're crying to be broken of this bondage, but they're told they can't hear it because we're told to be silent. You know, you have to treat them different. You have to. There's new laws, new rules. You can't hug our kids anymore, or you can't discipline them properly.
Yes, you can.
The world has said we can't touch them.
That's right.
But God says we need to discipline our children, and we need to do it right.
Well, I agree with that. Now, the discipline has to be set in motion. It has to be in order. To the extent that, you know, I don't know. You know, I just when I think on these things, 708, I'm coming to you. When I think on these things, I look at the various profiles and what have you of a lot of these young men who have did these mass murders and what have you in the schools and what have you, as we have seen them. A lot of them have what you call lackadaisical parents that, you know, them kids' guns was in their bedrooms.
Uh-huh.
Them guns was in their closets, in their bedrooms. And so they brought them in the house and this, that, and another, and blah, 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 blah. And, you know, I think that when you come to a place that you are so, not too long ago, I was watching a television show, and it was about a parenting kind of situation, and the guy goes to the door of his son's bedroom, and he knocks on the door, and his son says, "Who is he?" He said, "Dad," and his son gets quiet, and then he said, "Can I come in?" That kind of stuff will never happen in my house.
Not either.
You know, I might tap on the door, depending on the child's age, because there is some privacy that's kept, you know, but I'm coming in.
Amen.
And the tap is to let you know, and whether you give me permission or not, I'm coming in. And the reason why is because I'm paying the bills. That room, my room. You sleeping in my room. You ain't sleeping in your room. That's my room that you're sleeping in. That needs to be a free structure of the way that we see things. You know, when you look at Far East shows and stuff like this, when the young people talk, they would say stuff like, "My mother's house, my father's house." They didn't call their father's house their house. They understood the discipline of living in the parents' home.
Amen.
They
did. We did.
Amen.
And we,
no,
you know,
the prophet, they want to take away from the parents the right to search the kids for anything inappropriate.
Well, you tell them
here in Canada,
mortgage.
I was told when I got custody of my son, I couldn't search his room.
They go out.
I couldn't search his bags. I couldn't, and I went in court and I said, "You know what? I can search anything I want because I need to know what my son's doing. And if you have a problem with it, take it up with God, and then I'll take it up with the law."
Yeah, that's crazy. That is crazy. Air code 708. Your mic is hot.
Bless you, Pastor. Bless you, Pastor Shatwan and Gil. How you guys doing?
We're blessed.
Amen. Bless you.
Bless, brother.
This is Pastor Brad.
All right, Brad, I was waiting on you.
Well, you know, I work in a high school.
Right.
And, you know, they now have this, what is called the GSA Club, which is called the Gay Straight Alliance.
Wow.
And It's so open, it's not funny.
Wow. Wow.
I agree with that.
I talk with a lot of kids, And, you know, they be trying to get, they get my opinion on, and I just tell them, you know, I love you, but I don't love what you, I don't like what you're doing.
Yes, right.
You know, well, you know, you, because they call me Preacher Man. They're like, well, Preacher Man, you know you. I said, look, I don't care what society says. I have to go by what the Word of God says.
My God. I just, you know, I'm really at a place now where, you know, I'm really trying to get a position of a formula for reform and repair of this. You know, what can we do? I know, you know, that, I mean, when we offer Christ to people, in these lax terms that we do, praise the Lamb of God. 313, your mic is hot. I'm coming to you right in a minute. But when we offer these lax terms, I used to sit when I was like 20 years old, 22 years old, ministering and preaching across the country. I used to say, joining church is too easy. Coming to Christ is just too easy. People just coming and they shaking hands and they sitting up in these chairs and they joining these choirs and things like this, but the heart has not been changed.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, that when it, as it relates to the church and what have you, you know, I'm even in the lesson that I'm going to teach today out of the Gospel of Luke, right there at the Ascension, when Jesus was about to ascend, he was telling him to tarry in Jerusalem for the Holy Spirit. It said that this gospel of repentance might be preached.
That's right.
That this gospel of repentance might be preached, not this gospel of prosperity.
Jeez.
Not this social gospel.
That's right.
But that the gospel of repentance, see, once you repent from sin and what have you, I'm talking about a sincere repentance, once you repent, I mean, you have come to a place then, people of God, that you no longer want to go back to where you came from.
That's right.
But when there is no repentive rules, you just join. You ain't got to repent of nothing.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Just come as you are, the way you are, and the Lord will fix everything else. The devil alive never says that.
No, it doesn't.
So when the true process of repentance come, even everybody that came to Jesus, you know, Jesus was the rich young ruler. He comes, Jesus knew money is your problem. You need to go and repent of this greed that you have, that you think you can hold on to that as long as you obey the law. Go sell all that you have, distribute it to the poor, and then come on and follow me. Because you can't follow me with your mind on all this money and business you got. And he walked away sorrowful because he had great riches. Because he couldn't repent of it.
Amen.
Praise the Lamb of God. He couldn't turn from it. Repentance means turning from something.
That's right.
Erico 313, your mic hot.
Hey, Prophet, this is Reggie. I had to get on and speak on behalf of the youth, because I be a young person. I know what's exactly going on, and I'm not on here to point blame or anything, but where we fall desperately short is in the home. The mouthpiece in the home is completely gone, and we have no more identity being spoken in the home. We don't have anybody telling us who we are, and I speak that from experience. I struggled for a long time, even in some areas still, because I didn't have someone to tell me, you are this, God says you're this, you are that, this is what you are. Therefore, I'm on a search, or we are on a search to find ourselves. Therefore, we fall into all type of things. We go to school looking for acceptance any way it can, even if it means shooting up the school. We don't have anybody in the homes anymore to tell us who we are. And once we get that back, we'll be straight.
Wow. I mean, I'll tell you this, a purpose-driven life is the best life. And when your children are purposeless, when they don't have no content of believing that they are somebody in this earth because you have spoken in them, over them, to them, they have nothing to grab hold to.
And you spoke the wrong thing into their life.
Yep. And you spoke the wrong thing into their lives. Because you spoke nothing. Nothing is the wrong
thing.
And then the negative things that we have spoken to our children, you're never going to be nothing. You're going to be like your daddy, mad at the father, all that crap that comes out of you just like him and all that. All of this negativity that we have dropped in the spirits of our young people, praise the Lamb of God, has caused a regurgitation of it at a later date.
Yeah.
And when they regurgitate, it comes out messed all up because even when you said it, you didn't say it with the impact that they when it comes back out. That they,
right.
that it has. You wouldn't believe in a million years because you told that child you'll never be nothing. He's shooting up the school. You never would have thought in a million years that you told him to do his homework and he said I don't feel like. And you said that's why you ain't gonna never be nothing. You're trying to get him to do his homework, but what you said, your words penetrated his spirit to the extent. That it messed them up.
Yeah.
That's right. Then no matter what
the words have that much power. Words have that much power. I'm who I am today. I don't care what nobody say. And I know God calling and everything, but my mother, she stopped me one day in that kitchen. I'm looking at it right now in my mind's eye. And she said, son, I got to tell you this. I couldn't have been no more than 12 years old. She says, a gold cross on your back. And I see it every time you walk out and walk past me. When I look at your back, I see the gold cross. She said, you're the one that God has chosen out of this family. My mother told me that. And I ran out the door playing. Ran out the door, went on the plane. Her words has never left me. Her words has never left me. We must change this. Praise the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Something has got Reggie, let me ask you a question. I see these other two callers here. Praise the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. And we're coming to this. Reggie, what is the mindset? Are you there, Reginald?
Yeah, I'm here.
What is the mindset of young people in church? Tell me, when they come to church, what is their mind? Do they see church really as a spiritual entity? Do they see church? Is their perception of church a social club? What is the perception?
There is no respect for the house of God anymore. Why? Because the people in the house of God right now don't even respect it. So therefore, when we come in, how do you expect for us to respect it? We fall along with exactly what's going on in the house now.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, we're doing exactly what we're saying. We're doing exactly what we're taught.
Wow.
We are showing our children to mimic us. So the way we act in the church, they act in the church.
Yeah.
Yes,
and they're crying. But our kids are crying. They want true leadership.
Wow.
That's true.
This is awesome. This is really, really awesome, this information. Praise the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Amen.
Lack of honor, the lack of respect, the lack, praise the Lamb of God, for the house of God, for the things of God. And then normally when they get home, Reginald, I guess there's no God, nothing there. It's just home with that absentee leadership or priesthood. The priesthood of the home is vacant. So no one is speaking into the lives of nobody. No one is praying. No one is interceding. No one is leading others in prayer and this, that, and another. So the absentee priesthood in the home, praise the Lamb of God, is gone. So if the home is void of it, the church, praise the Lord, has very little value, especially if it's absent in the church. That it becomes a joke. You know, I be telling these preachers, I say, you know, you all just don't know it, but when you be up there doing the monkey shine, these young people know you ain't doing nothing but entertaining. You ain't tricking them.
That's true.
They know you ain't doing nothing but entertaining. They listening to what's coming out of your mouth. They're listening to your words. But all of these motions and all of these gymnastics and all of this stuff that you're going through, the average one of them look at you and just say, you know, yeah, he got it going on with that. But what he's saying, it don't mean nothing. It ain't having an impact.
Prophet, they look at these preachers and they see these preachers, and you know, it's a lot of them out here and they out for the money. That's what they're about. They're preaching because of the money. They're not preaching to save their soul. And these kids know this. A lot of kids, I don't go to church because I ain't going to get this preacher my money. That's all they want. You know, and then they see the preacher sleeping around with the different girls and the women, and they have wives, and all of this is going on in the church. And the children are seeing this. And they said, well, if I see that, I can stay out here. What's the difference? If I'm going to go to hell, I might as well go to hell doing what I like to do.
Exactly.
Not sitting up in the church watching liars.
Wow.
And this is what you get when you ask the children why they don't go to church. You know, because they see it. There's no example anymore. I remember going to church. You better not say nothing while you're in church, and you better not turn around. You better be quiet until you get out of church. That's no longer anymore. You know, it's cliques in the church. It's this in the church. It's that in the church. And kids don't want to do that anymore.
Wow. Wow. I concur with that. I really do. I concur with that. It has gone too far. And it's the whole bottom fell out of ministry that caused a non-criteria for ministry and a no process or trajectory to the road of being in the ministry. And it's
That's
so
right.
lax today that anybody can go online and get an ordination payment.
That's true.
That's how relaxed it is today. And the devil is allowing it. Itself allows it because they saying, this right here will destroy the church. Let them do it.
Exactly.
That'll destroy it. Untrained, uncalled. You know, I know a young man, I saw him sitting up at church with a collar on and a gold chain and everything, and he was no more than about 18, 19 years old. I said, dude, what are you doing? He looked at me and said, shh, shh. I just got this on because I want a good seat. I want to sit up front, so I went and bought me one of these shirts.
They make a mockery.
It's a mockery. Now, I ain't going to tell you what I told him, but that's between me and him. But, you know, it's a mockery. You know, because there's no challenge on ministry. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, my goodness. I'm just Let me see who this is right here. Erico 313.
Hey, Prophet.
Hey.
To you all. This is Brett.
Hey, Brett.
Hey, Brett.
You know, this is a really awesome topic today because raising two girls is real point, is on point, and important that we talk about this. The phrase, the fruit doesn't fall far from the tree, is holds so true in the church, inside the church. A lot of the children that I work with in youth ministry, I had a lot of them come to me, and they would tell me that, you know, my dad would go home and watch pornography. My dad would do this. My mother would do that, and have men coming in and out of the house. So even when their parents came to church, when they got home, they were playing church in church. And when they got home, it was back to doing what they wanted to do. So, of course, when they came to church, they had the same attitude, like, y'all faking, y'all faking. And at a point in my walk, my spiritual walk, I had to recognize that it was something that I had to do because I was falling in the same trap. The generational curses hold true. My mother was the mother that always encouraged, that always stayed on us, that always, in the beginning, always was about the, you know, taught us the Bible. But my father didn't. He lived a worldly life. So I had part of it, both sides in me, and I chose for a long time to do the other side. It took a lot of tragedy to change, and it takes tragedy for people to change, but what are we teaching our children? The negative words you talked about is so important. The examples, the lack of discipline in our house. You know, I have a 17-year-old daughter now that I'm seeing the fruit of her seeing us study, that her, not just studying in a room in private, but sitting at the dining room table, and they can walk by and see that we're serious about it. They walk by and say, look, turn that TV off. We don't want to hear that music. And we always try to make, I couldn't listen to when I was growing up, 2 Live Crew and all those music was NWA. I couldn't listen to that freedom in my own home. Nowadays, children can cut on any kind of music in their home without their parents saying something. They watch anything on TV. All that stuff is affecting our children, the video games. All that stuff is affecting the children, and they're acting it out in real life right now. From homosexuality, you can look on any television show, across the board, every commercial, commercial is some kind of gay notation on the TV every single time. Almost every show, 85, they're making it more and more prevalent on TV, so it's freer. But if we don't change our children from watching TV and listening to this music, we're never going to change. And we don't change the church. If the people, we talked about a repentance, if the people inside the church, if the leaders, if the deacons, or people that they're calling into ministry just for numbers and just to carry these titles in the position to keep the doors open, if they're not truly being discerned and making sure that they're in the right place, then what are you bringing in the church? Your leadership is doing the same thing. It's not changing. So this is what I see, you know, especially the worship. I watch the young people real closely because that's a special place in my heart for young people. And when we go into church, and if you come to church and all of a sudden you sit there, and this is something they might notice, and then all of a sudden you jump in the hoop and hollering, and then when you get home, you hollering another way, you cussing and fussing. What are you saying? Oh, as soon as you get in the, so I'm always mindful of that as a parent of two girls because it's so poignant right now.
Wow.
Hey, Prophet, wow. In the church where I was at, we had a huge youth ministry. It was huge. It was huge for the first 3 years. But what happened was we were bringing in the youth from the streets but not reaching the parents. So they were seeing what was happening in the ministry, but nobody wanted to go talk to the parents because they were involved with drugs. They were homeless. Mm-hmm. You know, so the youth would see all this powerful message from the Lord, but then they'd go home and they'd see the other stuff because no one was ministering to the parents.
Yeah.
To teach them how to raise up their youth to be godly. You know, and then we'd leave it on the children to minister to their parents. And they're just babes. But then the worst part was mixing the youth that are coming into the church with those that were brought up in the Christ.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And then they see, look, they're allowed to go out and do this. They're allowed to come to church on Sunday or to the youth rallies and do whatever they want. So we can do it too.
Mm-hmm.
And now
they're
crying.
Infectious spirit coming in, right? Infecting those children that's already grew up, that has that word in them. And they want to be part of the world because they battle the flesh right then and there.
I mean, Gil, you said something so powerful until it knocked me back in my chair. And this is and I believe this is what you, I mean, this is what's ringing in my head. You said we did ministry to the youth, but we didn't minister to the parents.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh my God.
And I was told that when you decide that you can't reach the parents, you're not allowed to go. We're infringing on their rights. Infringing on their rights. No, you need to reach the kids and the parents.
But you know, I see this clear because when I was growing up, people of God, when I was growing up, I was the saved one in the house. And boy, let me tell you something. Having four brothers and two sisters that didn't go to church with me and stuff like that. And I was, you know, the knee baby, as we called it. I was next to the baby. I had a lot of flack. And my only salvation in the house was that my mother knew Jesus. If my mother hadn't known Jesus, I'd been in trouble. I'm telling you, honest God truth, the pressure, it just in the home, the ungodly home. I have seen so many children give their life to Christ and what have you, and then come cry to me about the home. That when I go home, this is what goes on at home. Man, that just hit me. That hit me, boy, I'm telling you. Wow. Wow. It's almost like we need to take these kids from their parents, almost like, hey, come to Christ, get filled with the Holy Ghost, and live in the colony with us. Because your parents are just gone another way.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then the parents get mad at them because they pray. I don't know what you're praying and they're praying for. Reading your Bible ain't going to do you no good. The parents is telling the kids this. It's crazy. Wait a minute. We got another call. I'm going down the list here. All right. Boy, this is like a long-distance call. Error code 23324 something. Error code.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Papa. This is Pastor Adam.
Adam.
Hey, Adam.
Pastor Adam.
From Ghana, Africa.
I am enjoying this topic. You know, it is one of the topics that I believe that. We need to take up. I'm enjoying the comments. I'm enjoying a lot of the comments, and then the things you shared. Well, I mean, I can't talk for America, but I can talk for Africa, because the societies are different. It's a major problem everywhere. I mean, the youth. I am a youth, and I thank God I know God, and I'm doing something for God. The African society, we also have a peculiar problem when it comes to our youth. But I think that ours is a bit better. Why? Because we still have a strong home-based system. The home has a bigger stake when it comes to the youth. You know, you Africa here, we don't have much freedom like you have in the States there, where you can do what you want. We have few choices. Here in Africa, the home have a big stake when it comes to upbringing of children. And so the problem we have in Africa here is it has to do with the parents. It has to do with the parents. I think that here back in Africa, the strong agent of change when it comes to youth is the home. Then you come to the church, then you come to society, then you come to the media. But when you go to America, it is the other way around. But here, we still have the nuclear family and then the extended family, which these two families have strong say when it comes to you raising your kids. So it is here in Ghana, a child, you have a lot of freedom, but not that you don't have much freedom. Now that doesn't put that much threat on the church. So when the home or the parents are able to raise up their kids as God wants them, then it gives little pressure to the church. The church comes in and patches up, and then on we go. But if the home breaks, that is where we have a problem.
Yes.
When the home breaks, that is where we have a problem. The Bible says that children obey your parents in the Lord. So what happens if your parents are not in the Lord? That is the problem. What happens if your parents are not in the Lord?
But see, that was given to the Jews, and the Jews were already in the process of a system that their religion and their reverence of God was already in place. And okay. When it comes to us as Gentiles, there is no God in place.
All right.
So since God is not in place in the house, as it is in Jewish families, from the moment a Jewish child is born, that, you know, it's, you know, bar mitzvahs, it's all of that. You know, it's a process of religious rites and religious education that's given to the children. So God is already in the house. The thou shalt not kill, honoring your father and mother, is already instilled in them from childhood up. When our children are born, we give a baby shower, that turn into, for the majority, an adult party.
Yes.
And they drinking over the child and everything else.
And they're drinking while the child is the mother.
They're drinking over the child, they're cussing, they're doing everything, lighting up marijuana, everything. This is a baby shower. Because we have, as Gentiles, we have no God-based system instilled that says, this is the way we do things across the board. Christianity is so loose. There is nothing nailed down that this is the way we're supposed to do. This is what is supposed to happen. This is the proper way if you are a Christian. If you are a Christ follower, there is nothing in place like that. Nothing. But Judaism is in place. For us, it's not in place.
Okay.
And it's difficult if I'm not saved. I have a son. My son gets saved, and I'm not saved, and you're sending a saved son home to an unsaved father, unsaved mother.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the true problem is. Go ahead, Adam. I'm listening to you.
Yeah. I think one thing we also do here in Ghana is we have the freedom to go to schools and preach. I go to school to go and preach. And nobody resists me. And I think that it's...
You all have the freedom to go to the schools and preach?
Yes. And so I go to schools and I preach. Every Wednesday I have schools that I go to preach. And it is schools but beg me to come and preach because my itinerary is just so much. So, I mean, here the society supports. Here we have the freedom. We just have the freedom to go to schools to preach. So I have schools that I have earmarked that I go to those schools to go and preach. And so I think that our educational system too is helping us where you can go to any school, see the headmaster and say, well, I want to come preach for this school every Wednesday. And they will take you up. They will take you up. And so I'm speaking from the Ghanaian perspective. We we here, we have the advantage. And so, but the problem we have is that we don't have many youth who want to go into ministry. The ministry is reserved for the old folks, which is a practice I think we must stop in Ghana here. The ministry is reserved for people who are grown, and I mean, it's rare to see youth like me in ministry. It's very rare because everybody wants to do a high time work to get money and to do this, and so some of us in the ministry we kind of like people look up to us, some look up to us, some look down on us because they see you like you are too young to be in ministry. So in Ghana, we have a lot of advantage, and our youth and our culture doesn't allow some things like those homosexuals, I mean, being a lesbian and those things. And I think that it has really helped our youth not to go into some things. It has really helped our youth. And so it's a big topic. I just love this topic because every society has its own peculiar problems. We also have our problems, but I think that Ghana we are doing okay gradually. Except when the Western culture comes into play, then we found ourselves wanting. Except that we have a lot of youth in the church. But the only problem we have is we don't have a lot of youth going into ministry. Everybody wants to do a professional work. Everybody wants to be a businessman, wants to be an entrepreneur. Everybody wants to be, but they don't want to go into ministry. And I think that is one of the areas we have to look to. That's one of the areas we have to look to. No, the youth don't want to be in the ministry. The youth don't want to be in the ministry. The youth don't want to be in the ministry at all. But they want to be in church. And I think that the messages we are preaching to the youth, I mean, it must be tailor-made. We must tailor it according to the youth. Let them know the truth that this is what the Bible says. You can do this, you can do that. But rather, we cannot play the game according to their rules. Preach the word. No. Preach what they want. In the name of trying to keep them in the church, we have to tell them the truth, the plain truth, the plain truth. We cannot say that when we say this, the youth will go out of the church. No, we need to tell them the plain truth, truth. And we thank God for the way our destiny is structured here. The home have a bigger say when it comes to raising up kids. Then it comes to the church, then it comes to the society, then it comes to the media. As of now, our media have not taken that much food when it comes to, because here your kid cannot watch any program he wants on television. We don't have that much freedom here. When your dad says you are sleeping at this time, you are sleeping at this time. That is it.
Is that across the board? Is that everywhere? Would all the families are like that?
Well, now a lot of them are learning from the Western culture, and that is what is creeping into our system gradually. That is not helping us. The Western, they are learning the Western culture where they are kind of giving their children a lot of freedom. You know, I can tell you that I know a lot of Ghanaians who have kids in America. When they give birth in America, they bring their kids to Ghana to come and raise them because they say that America is not a place to raise kids. So they bring a lot. They will be in America and bring their kids to Ghana, and then they leave their kids to their parents, so the kids can grow in Ghana.
Wow. I think he dropped. Wow, he dropped. His call dropped. He's calling from Ghana, Africa. What are the? I mean, do you all see the difference in culture? And I see some of you have dropped off the line, but people of God, Holly, do you see the difference in godliness being placed in the home, godliness being placed in the schools, and what have you, as this man was talking? That was blowing my mind. That blew my mind. that they can go in the schools and preach anytime they want to, and if we walk in a school, we'll get arrested.
Amen.
And we'll get arrested for being on the premises trying to preach. We can't go on there and solicit or do anything in our school system. And watch this. Ghana is not a Christian country.
Amen.
Africa has not been declared as a Christian land. America has. America is supposed to be a Christian nation. But you can't preach the gospel in the schools.
They've taken it out of our schools.
They don't even want you to call the name of Jesus in public. When they ask
the word prayer.
These political prayers and stuff now, they say, when you end your prayer, do not say in Jesus' name. You can say in the name of God. The God of heaven, whatever, but don't say Jesus.
See, they're afraid to offend every other faith, but they offend God daily by not allowing us to call on Jesus.
You offend God. It's crazy, man. I'm telling you the truth. It's really crazy. But you know, when you look at the works of the enemy, the ploys of the adversary, it brings you to a place of understanding that if we don't really get this thing together as believers and as the church, all hope is lost. And that's what they're banking on, that we can't get it together. Because we are so money-driven that we have entertainment syndrome, that we're more interested in building buildings than we are building people, that we're more interested in the spotlight instead of the spots that's on our garments, that is our interest.
Amen.
And our true interest does not employ us, praise the Lamb of God, to the place, whereas that we want to rise up and be the church and be what God has called us to be. And that's sad, people of God. It's sad, praise the Lamb of God. No wonder we have all of these issues in politics and this, that, and another, because so much ungodliness is ruling in our society right now. It's ruling in our society right now. Oh, but God, if he allow us the endowment of his power, hallelujah. It just gave me energy for the fast, people of God. So all this has fired me up, praise the Lamb of God. Because I know, hallelujah, people of God, and this is where I'm taking you to, praise God. Adam, your mic is hot again. Where I'm taking you to in my teachings, as we go to Pentecost, I'm wanting to cover some territory that is going to bring us to the knowledge, the understanding, and to a place of empowerment, that we shall be whom God called the church to be.
Amen.
I hope you are listening to me and hearing my heart. Praise the Lamb of God. Today, my heart was to talk to you all out of the last chapter of St. Luke, praise the Lamb of God, St. Luke, and he's there with the disciples, praise the Lamb. I'm going to talk about that for the next few minutes, and it relates to everything we're talking about here, praise the Lamb of God. In the last chapter of St. Luke, I want to drop this word in here on you people of God. Hallelujah. So we can really see this. I mentioned it a little earlier. That's chapter 24. Jesus says in verse 44, chapter 24, it says, and he said unto them, watch this now, these are the words which I spoke unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which was written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. His death, his resurrection, all of that, praise the Lamb of God, concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. Praise the Lamb of God. See, that's one thing for you to be able to read the word of God. That's another thing for you to have godly understanding. So he opened their understanding. That's something we need to pray for in this season. Praise the Lamb of God. His godly understanding of his word. Lord, open my mind. Open my eyes. Since I've sanctified my eyes, let me see wondrous things out of your word, as David asked. Since I've sanctified my ears, let me hear your voice. Speak to me concerning your word. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Watch this now. Watch what he says. And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and rise from the dead the third day, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. I hope you all heard that. Praise the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. This isolates all other social gospels and all of the other mess that we're preaching across the pulpit. Praise the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. This is what we should be preaching. Repentance. Remission of sins. The rest is teaching. The process in catching fish, praise the Lamb of God, is you catch the fish with the bait or the hook, but once you get the fish in, you don't have to catch them no more. So now it's time for teaching to cleanse you. Because the only thing that's going to cleanse, according to the Bible, is the Word of God.
Amen.
The teaching of the Word of God that transforms your thinking, praise the Lamb of God, has to be taught. It has to be taught properly. Praise the Lamb. Watch this now. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as Bethany and lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into the heavens. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. Praise the Lamb of God. Now watch this. When Jesus does this, praise the Lamb of God, he says this to them, praise the Lamb, up there in the Mount of Olives where he were, the other rendition of it says, and he boarded a cloud, praise the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. And an angel stood there saying, why stand ye here gazing? The same way he left here, he's coming back again. Praise the Lamb of God. He tells them to tarry in Jerusalem for, praise the Lamb of God, this endowment or this endowment of supernatural, superimposed power to be witnesses, praise the Lamb of God. And he says that all nations, praise the Lamb of God, starting in Jerusalem, this is what he tells them. Now, when you go to Acts 1 and 8, praise the Lamb of God, he says to them there, he says, tarry in Jerusalem until the Comforter come, the promise come. He says, and after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall receive power. Hello, somebody. Praise the Lamb of God. To be witnesses unto me. To be witnesses unto me. To be witnesses unto me. In Jerusalem. In Samaria. In Judea. In the othermost parts of the earth. Praise the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Now, last time I talked to you about this, we was in the upper room, and he breathed on his disciples and said, receive the Holy Ghost. I call that the sealing. Praise the Lamb of God. Now, the sealing and the baptism is the same. Praise the Lamb of God. The baptism and the sealing is the same. They're one and the same. You receive this, listen to me, people of God, upon belief. When your belief becomes 100%, you're sealed. You're baptized by the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lamb of God. But that's not the empowerment. Hello, light bulbs. Praise the Lamb of God. After he breathed on them, now he's telling them, tarry until the power comes. A lot of believers, watch this now, have been sealed, you've been baptized, but you haven't been filled.
Amen.
A lot of believers believe, hallelujah, but you haven't been filled. And the reason why you haven't been filled is because you don't understand what the filling is for. There's no sense in me filling you with power when you don't know what the power is for. And are you willing to use the power for what I'm giving it to you for? Are you willing to use the authority for the purpose and that it's intended for? Or do you want to be like other folk and just sit up and babble all day and say, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost? Because Jesus says, when the filling comes, you're going to be witnesses unto me.
Amen.
That's what it's for. Praise the Lamb of God. To give you that holy boldness. To give you that unction. Hello, somebody. To give you the utterance. And to give you the power of demonstration. So that you can represent Christ in the earth realm, in your witness. Hallelujah. So that the Holy Ghost can flow through you. Through you. Praise the Lamb of God. Now, that's a, can nobody refute what I'm saying. When you look at the upper room, when Thomas was there, Jesus said, handle my hands, stick your finger in my side, do all of this. And then he wants Thomas to believe. He said, blessed art thou, you know, blah, blah, blah. But the greater blessing is on those who go on to believe who have not seen me. Once he brought them the total belief, he breathed upon them and said, receive the Holy Ghost. It's right there, I mean, it's right there in your Bible. So if he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Ghost, that wasn't just bad breath now. Come on. That was the sealing in the baptism. But then he says, now, let's go for a walk. Now get my instructions right so the gospel of repentance can be preached and what have you. He said, you still ain't ready to preach it yet. I breathe on you, but you ain't ready to preach it yet. It's right there in your Bible, people of God. Shakespeare didn't make this up. You ain't ready yet. Tarry till the promise come. And when you endure with this power, it's going to cause you to be a witness unto me. And on the day of Pentecost, over 3,000 people was added to the church. On the day of Pentecost.
3,000?
Over 3,000 was added to the church. On the day of Pentecost. Read Acts, the second chapter. We're going there, praise the Lamb of God, as we continue to study this. But I need you to understand this about the Holy Spirit. Look what Jesus says. When he, the Comforter, has come, the one that's just like me, the Paraclete, when he has come, he will convict you of sin. That's number one. If the Holy Spirit is in me, praise the Lamb of God, not only will he convict me of sin, but he can convict others.
Amen. Yeah.
That's what preaching the gospel of repentance is about, convicting people of sin. Hallelujah. He will convict you of sin, and this is a continuum of conviction. Anytime you do something, he convicts you. That's how you know you got the Holy Ghost. Anytime you do something wrong, he convicts you. At some point, going to do it, while you're doing it, when you finish doing it, he convicts you. Why does he convict you? Because he knows without repentance, you have no free flow of him. Without repentance, sin still reigns in your mortal body. So he convicts us to the place of repentance. Praise the Lamb. Then his next assignment is to lead you into all truths. Praise the Lamb of God. It's right there in your Bible. I didn't make this up. I didn't write it. It's right there in your Bible. Praise God. That he will lead you into all truth. The next thing is, he will testify of me. Praise the Lamb of God. His testimony is going to be about me, not himself. He'll be bragging on himself. He's not going to be showcasing him. He's going to showcase me. He's going to showcase Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He's going to give God the glory. He ain't going to be vainglorious. He don't be trying to rob God of his glory. He don't be walking around talking about he bad. That's not what he wants. The Holy Ghost will testify of me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you can't feel the Holy Spirit's presence no stronger and no more powerful than when you give God praise and glory for Jesus Christ. Erico 326, caller. Hello?
Hello?
Erico 326?
Yeah, Papa. I'm back.
Oh, you're back. You called on another line. Okay.
Hello?
Yes, we're here.
Yeah.
We got you.
I'm back online.
Okay, Adam. Praise the Lamb. Hallelujah. I'm getting the teaching. Oh, okay. Praise God. Well, we got a few more minutes here. And I was trying to get this in because as we're fasting and praying for the power of Pentecost, we must understand, people of God, its purpose. Praise the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Its purpose. This is where the church sidetracked at some place. Hallelujah. This is, we went down other roads and forgot about the gospel of repentance to the nations. The gospel of repentance at home, Jerusalem represented home. Judea, the suburbs. Samaria, cross culture. And then to the entire world. And a lot of people don't want the power, praise the Lamb of God, because they you get this power, hallelujah, then you are accountable for it. And it's a shame that a lot of ministers and a lot of people go be called to the side and say, hey, I gave you the power to witness and you did not witness. You shared the gospel with nobody. That's the sin of the church. That we don't share the gospel with nobody. Our agendas are too jam-packed. We are too full of ourselves. We are going here, we're doing this, we're doing that. And a lot of us would rather say, I sung in the choir than witness to somebody. I was an usher than witness to somebody. I was a deacon, but I never witnessed to nobody. We get lost in church work, and we fail to do the work of the church. We must come back, people of God. In the first place that we have to come to is the altar of repentance. And somebody have to do what Daniel did for Israel. Somebody got to repent for the church. Somebody has to go to God and repent for the church, for the pastors, for leadership, for the apostles and prophets and evangelists who are not preaching the gospel of repentance, who are not bringing souls to Christ, but bringing people to their church. They're advertising their churches. They're advertising conferences, but they're not winning souls. It's soul winning time, people. Hallelujah. It's soul winning time. And I don't care what sin, I don't care what condition, I don't care what lifestyle, the same word works for all of them. Repent. The same word works for every one of them. Repent and be baptized. Accept Jesus Christ as Lord. Muslim, repent. Mormon, repent. Same word. Ain't no special training for witnessing. This is the cry. Repent, praise the Lamb of God, and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He will forgive you of all your sins. Gil, are you still here?
Yes, bro.
Tell me something. You being, and we only got a couple of minutes, Gil. You being one who have was a devout Muslim at one time, and now you're Christian. Tell
Amen.
Me, what is the? How did you all get rid of your all sins?
Repented, gave it to the Lord. You know, I don't know if I shared, Prophet, but it was when I broke down in tongues in a mosque. Praying in tongues. And for 3 days, I asked the Lord for forgiveness and cried. Because I had known the truth, and I turned to a very devout Muslim. I would not miss a day, an hour, a second of prayer as a Muslim. You know, I had to keep asking the Lord, Father, forgive me. And daily I ask him to forgive me. Daily, every day I know that I have to ask. And like you just said, Pastor, confirmation that, you know, if we don't have the Holy Spirit in us and we're not filled with the Spirit, that conviction isn't there. But when we truly know that the Spirit is with us because we've accepted the Lord as our Savior, we can never turn back to that. I can never turn back to being any other faith but following the Lord Jesus Christ and his teachings. That's because every day that I ever think any thought of sinning, any thought of looking at anything that's inappropriate, any thought of following anything that is wrong, the Holy Spirit starts to grieve me. And the Lord keeps reminding me, do you really want to go back to that darkness?
Wow. Man, you know, I'm just saying, you know, repentance has to come, praise the Lamb of God, over the church afresh from dead works, praise the Lamb of God, hallelujah. Repentance of dead works has to come. And I'm not, people of God, let me tell you something. I am convinced that if we preach and teach the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of repentance, which is the gospel of acceptance of all,
man,
God's way, that we can change the world. I believe that. Okay, I mean, concerts, clothes, styles we try to wear to attract people, the gospel of Jesus Christ, it is the power of God. Hallelujah. It is the power of God of salvation.
Amen.
We must come back to it, people of God. Hallelujah.
And we can't preach compromise. No compromising is word. Now,
no compromise.
Word can be changed.
No compromise. Hallelujah. I love you. I bless you. Gil, thank you for being here. All of our panel guests. Thank you, Adam. Praise the Lamb of God. People of God, don't forget your Jubilee offering. Adam, Pastor Adam was on here. Anybody can trust in that man's conversation that he is not a sham. That man is a minister of God.
Amen.
He's a part of our ministry. We started a work. Let's finish it. All I asked you for was $50, a Jubilee offering. Praise the Lamb of God, PSMINTL.org. Make that donation. I love you. I bless you. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Rolled away. The sunshine is here.